Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
If you brought your Bibles, if you would go with me to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse number 16. This is Paul talking here, and he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But," thank God for the but, "if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are what? Not under the law." Father, we're thankful for your word this morning. We ask that you'll anoint it. Anoint our hearts, minds, and ears this morning. Anoint this, your servant, to bring forth your word the way you would have it to be spoken. And we'll always give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, for we ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to speak on the thought this morning, killing time for eternity. Killing time for eternity. 1 John 2:16 says it like this, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, is not of the Father, is not of the Father, but is of the" what? "The world." It is of the world. Paul's saying in Galatians, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. This one word, lust, is a powerful, powerful, powerful tool of the enemy. And it aggravates me at times how I hear preachers and pastors and Christians trying to downplay the power of Satan. We know that God has all power, but Satan is not powerless. The Bible said he's the god of this world. Until God takes that away from him, he's got quite a bit of power. Now, if you're blood covered, he has no power over you unless you let him have. And a lot of times that's what goes on, Sister Lisa. They let him perch up there on their shoulder and begin to whisper sweet nothings into their ears. And they listen to it and they are deceived. So that should show you how much power the devil's got. He's even able at times to sway Christians. He's able at times to work through Christians. But Paul is saying here, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then here in John, he tells us all the different areas. But I want to look at this word lust for a minute. In the Greek, it means a desire or craving or a longing for what is forbidden. A longing or a desiring or a craving for something that is forbidden. That is a powerful thought, isn't it? That one little word right there, lust, can be so powerful. And here are the areas that John says that it works within. It works within the flesh. The flesh in the Greek is translated sarx, and it means the sensuous nature of man or the animal nature of man. Now, we could draw a lot of conclusions to that. I'm not going to go into all that this morning, but we can use our imaginations this morning and realize there's many different areas in our flesh that if we're not walking in the Spirit, the old animal nature can come out. We've seen this even in at times with carnal Christians. Paul talked about those carnal Christians. And at times, if we're not careful, we're not walking in the Spirit, the enemy could come in, Sister Paula, and use us as a vehicle to attack another Christian or to tear down another Christian. So this lust is powerful and mighty in the flesh. The devil uses it in a mighty way. But then he talks about another area known as the eyes, and according to the word of God and according to the original Greek that it was written in, this one holds a twofold meaning. It means the obvious one, the eye, the natural eye, what we can see with the natural eye. But the more important meaning, it speaks of the eyes, plural, of the mind, or the faculty of knowing. Well, what does that mean, Brother Jimmy? Well, what it means is there are people who devolve so much of their time in this world to higher learning. Now, I'm not against learning, I'm not against schooling, I'm not against people pursuing degrees. I'm not against, so I want to make that statement right off the bat. But there are people who have a lust for learning and a lust for power. Daniel said it like this. He said, in the last days, knowledge would be increased. People would run to and fro. I've heard people make the statement, and Crystal's mom was one of them, used to say, people would get so smart they would become stupid. And really, that has come to pass. Because when a man forgets God, or a woman forgets God, no matter what they have in their life, Brother Gene, it is useless. Without God being paramount and number one in our lives, Sister Crystal, we are, as the Word of God puts it, are become as sounding brass and a clanging cymbal, making a lot of noise, producing a lot of smoke, but there's no fire. There's no realness there. So they desire and they pursue rather higher learning. They want to get to themselves the associate's degree, the bachelor's degree, the master's degree, the doctorate degree. And before you know it, they're like Dr. Jack Frost. They got so many degrees, you can count them. But the one degree that they don't have is the degree of higher learning. Hosea 4:6 said it like people say, well, Brother Jimmy, doesn't the Bible say somewhere that because of a lack of knowledge, God's people perish? Yes, it does. It says that. But see, that's another one that people lift out of context. Listen what Hosea 4:6 says. My people, this is God talking, are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. I also will reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Listen to this. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of who? God. That's the knowledge that's being spoken of here. He says, and because you've forgotten the knowledge of God, I will also forget thy children. Wow. We can pursue those master's degrees all day long. We can seek to be more intelligent than our fellow brother or sister. Folks will put folks like me down every day for using word like ain't and double negatives. My wife used to get on me for that all the time. But listen to me. We can pick and choose, and we can seek to be approved by man, and many people do. And there's a lot of churches today that are very intelligent. They have leaders that are very, very, very intelligent. But there's something that I have witnessed through my lifetime, Sister Brown, that I have seen since I've been in church, and it breaks my heart. I've seen so many pastors, so many evangelists that started out so anointed by the Holy Ghost, but they went along and they spent so much time learning more and heaping up degrees to themselves so that they can be acknowledged by man or accepted by man, and they all have one common thing alike. When you walk into their church, there's no anointing. Their learning has taken the place of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Many of those people will say, and I witnessed it with my own ears and my own eyes, they make fun of shouting. One-time Pentecostals, that was foolishness. That's what we did back then. We don't do that anymore. And we wonder why people are dying lost and going to a devil's hell. We have family members on both sides of the family tree who have left their roots, Brother Gene. And they've sought them out a mega church so they can blend in to the woodwork. Because they know that those Joel Osteen preachers aren't going to preach on hell. They're going to tell them how to feel good. They're not challenged. They're not checked by the Holy Ghost. They can live like hell all week long, show up on Sunday morning, and blend in with the crowd. And we got pastors today that are too ignorant to see the difference. Why? Because they're so busy pursuing higher learning and trying to get the recognition of man, they've forgotten neology and they've turned to theology. And it's not about what we think, it's about what the Word of God says. So the eyes is a tool that this little four-letter word, lust, Satan uses. But then there's the big one, the pride of life, the pride of life. In the Greek, it means an empty, braggart talk, an insolent or disrespectful, an empty assurance, which trusts in its own power and their own resources, all the while shamefully despising and violating the divine laws of God and human rights. It also means an impious and empty presumption which trusts in the stability, listen to this, it trusts in the stability of earthly things. Now we're looking at some person. Now we're looking to some place. One of the biggest things that gripes me are people. You cannot get them to be on time for anything at the house of God. But you let them go do that favorite thing they like to do. Or go to that favorite place they like to go. Or go see that favorite person they like to see, and they'll be there with bells on. In fact, they'll be there like Brother Brown, half an hour early. Sister Brown, you say, boy, he used to aggravate me. What do we hear so early? I like to be on time. Thank God for Brother Brown. We need more Brother Browns. And, amen. Sometimes I wonder, there was a movie we watched years ago before we got good and sanctified. And there's a line in it, and the guy, his name was Joe Dirt. And he said, is this where you want to be when Jesus comes back? And I think, how many times? Is this where people want to be when Jesus comes back? I am one of them, but yet they're not here. I am one of them, yet they don't care about that one, that woman, or that man dying lost and going to a devil's hell. I'm one of them, Brother Gene, but you know, I don't see the need in going to Target Dayton and getting rubbing elbows with them street people and them homeless people. But I'm one of them. 6 o'clock in the morning rolls around, they are 5-10 minutes early for their job. Sunday school rolls around, they're rolling 5 after 11. Yes, I'm meddling a little bit. That's not. Is this where we're going to be when Jesus comes back? That favorite place? With that favorite person? Doing that favorite thing? I wonder. Sometimes I wonder what's going to happen when the trumpet sounds and these carnal Christians who think it's all right to take a social drink every once in a while. They think it's all right to pat homosexuality on the back. Oh, we got to be tolerant. It's okay to say there are many roads to heaven. Jesus ain't the only way. I wonder what's going to happen when the trumpet sounds, Brother Gene. Where are they going to be? They're still going to be sitting in their favorite seat, in their favorite place, doing their favorite thing. While those who are prayed up, watching and ready, because Jesus said, watch ye therefore and pray that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all of these things. The Bible said there's coming a day when men's hearts are going to fail them for looking upon the things that are coming upon the face of the earth. That's not talking about Islamic attack. That's not talking about politics, the Democrats versus the Republicans. That's not talking about them kind of things. What it's talking about is supernatural disasters that's going to come and man can't do a thing about it. God's revenge, God's judgment because of sin. I've preached this for years that the United States has got a date with God in the woodshed, and they do. We do. Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael were caught in the crossfire. Even though they were godly men, Jamie, even though they were godly men, they were caught in the crossfire. Who do we think we are, Brother Gene? We might find ourselves one day. I might come up here one day. Brother Archie might come up here one day to find that the church doors have been padlocked and the government has shut us down. Crystal might go to the bank to make a deposit and find out all funds have been withdrawn. Who are we going to trust in? Are we trusting in resources? Are we trusting in people? Are we trusting in places and things? We better be trusting in the Word of God. I'm talking about people who are killing time for eternity. It's one thing to just to kill time, but it's another thing to kill time for eternity. There's an old secular song, once again, before me and Crystal got good and sanctified in our early years, used to go, this killing time is a killing me. Drinking myself blind, thinking I won't see. And if I cross that line, would they bury me? Well, I just might find I'll be killing time for it. See, even the Lord can use something of the devil's to make a point. Killing time for eternity. The devil say, nobody cares about you. But I got something that'll make you feel good. And it's in this pretty bottle. And it'll make you forget all your troubles. Forget your troubles, come on, get happy. And he starts singing that song to him. Then along comes that drug, you know, that Brother Jack Norton was talking about. Whew. That's a bad one. Crystal meth. It'll blow your mind. And it will. It'll blow it completely up. See, God don't care about you, but I do. God tells you to wait. I say you can have it right now. We used to put on dramas. We still do every once in a while. We haven't put it on in a while, called The Alternative. And one character in the drama would come out, Mommy. Oh, Mommy. At times he'd come out holding a bottle. His bud's for you. Come on, let's party a while. All kind of little one-liners. And sometimes the crowd would laugh, sometimes they'd get it. But the one that always stuck with me, the line that was used the most that really stuck with me, he said, you've got plenty of time. Just wait. Why? Because the devil knows that if he can get you to wait just a little bit longer. I'm talking about an adversary who has power and is very a formidable adversary. He's been around long before the earth was created. God made him before he laid the foundations of the earth. So he knows things far better than we do. And he knows if he can just get us to wait just a little bit longer till the life light is snuffed out of us, then he knows there's no more hope. As long as the heart is beaten and breath can be drawn in, sis, he knows he don't have a lot of hold over him. He can sway, but he don't have any control of that. As long as God's allowing that to happen, Brother Gene. Brother Jack Norton was here. He would tell you he was a walking miracle every single day. Strung out on crystal meth, I believe it was, something like that. Driving that tractor trailer high on dope. Carrying weapons and everything else he talked about. It was by the mercies of God that he didn't wreck and go out into eternity in that state. It was by the mercies of God that he didn't pull the trigger and blow his brains out like he had planned. God had bigger fish to fry. And Satan kept saying to Jack, just wait. Just wait. Your wife's a fanatic. All those people, they don't really care about you. God doesn't care about you, or he would have never let all them bad things happen from your past. Just wait. Brother Jack Norton's scheduled to be here September 27th to help us with our cool day. And I tell you what, he's a walking example of what a praying mama will do, or a praying grandma will do, or a praying wife will do. Hey, there's power in prayer. And God knows the plans that he has for us, plans to prosper us and do us no hurt. But the enemy has come, nothing else but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And if he can destroy you, if you'll let him, he will. Just wait. You don't think you're pretty? All your friends are prettier than you are. Won't you do like that other youngin did and just take your life. End it. End all your troubles. But can I tell you this morning, it just begins. Your troubles just begin. I'm talking about killing time for eternity. What do you mean exactly by that, Brother Jim? I want you to think about something. Here you are. I'm speaking futuristic now. I'm speaking to the people who have continually and consistently rejected and spurned the Spirit of God till they died lost. Now they're in hell. Again, speaking of the future. They went from killing time in this world to killing time in eternity. The only difference is, the Bible says, as the rich man, they're going to lift up their eyes, being in torments for eternity. Selling out the goodness of God for a bottle. Selling out the goodness of God for a quick fix. Selling out the goodness of God for the lust of the flesh. You fill in the blanks. Just selling out God for whatever that thing is that makes them feel good, that's temporal. And if we're lucky, we'll see the age of 80. I am 48 years old, and in my opinion, I'm already past half of my life. And I don't say that to be funny. I say that as a truth. What is 80 years, Brother Gene, compared to me suffering torments for eternity? Then that old country song will be true. This killing time is killing me. Killing time for eternity. Paul said again in Galatians 5:16, he said, and we'll read it one more time. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When we're walking in the Spirit, and when we're not walking rather in the Spirit, we are being led by Satan to do everything else. But when we are not walking in the Spirit, we are simply spinning our, it's kind of like a car that gets stuck in the mud. And they can just sit there and the wheels can spin. They can peg it to the floor. It ain't going to go anywhere, Brother Ronnie. It's stuck in the mud. Exactly where Satan wants a lot of people to be. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Satan uses these distractions to keep us from the will of the Father. He tried to do that with Jesus. But what did he do? It is written. This is why I push every Sunday morning and sometimes Sunday night when I don't forget to go over these memory verses with you. Because it's not going to do you any good as a child of God when you approach that formidable adversary and you don't have a sword. The only thing you're going to be able to do is run. And you know what the problem with that is? Nowhere in a Bible does it say that there's covering for the back. Running's for cowards. So if you don't have a sword, at best, if you've got any, only thing you can do is hold up that shield of faith and just keep taking the blows. Yes. God's not pleased with that. He wants you to be equipped. He wants your artillery to be massive. Yes. He wants it to be a massive attack. When the devil comes against you and you use the word of God on him, he cannot stand against the word of God. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Did you hear that? And him only shalt thou serve. Killing time for eternity. He said, but if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Basically what this means, in other words, is we are not condemned by the law of God. Why? Because we're walking in the Spirit. You can't be condemned by something if you're doing right. If we're not taking out time every day to spend with God and tell him how much we love him, and if we're not taking time to fill our mind with his word and equip ourselves with proper battle gear, when we go up against the enemy, we're going to be powerless. We're going to be powerless. But if we're walking in the Spirit, we're not under the law. We don't have to fear the law like the Israelites did back in the day. They proved time and time again, Brother Gene, they couldn't keep the law. They continued to fail. Why? Because they weren't trusting in God. They were trusting in what they thought they could do in their own power. Listen to this, and I'm going to try to wrap this up this morning. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Paul starts to name them. All the works of the flesh, everything that's encompassed in the flesh are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which is evil lust, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. In other words, there's a whole lot more we could name. Of the which I've told you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These are the things, as I said, that encompass this one word, lust. The lust of the flesh, the eyes, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. But then he doesn't stop there. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit. He don't give the negative without giving the positive. Is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, what did he say? There is no law. Once these things are allowed to abound in our life, folks, there's no way that we can be condemned by the law because we're walking truly in the Spirit. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. This is what brings us to our case in point. This is how, by that scripture I just read right there alone, where you can tell a true fruit-bearing Christian. Those who have crucified the flesh, listen to this, with the affections and the lusts. This is how you know a true fruit-bearing Christian. A true fruit-bearing Christian would rather be in the house of God than their favorite place, doing their favorite thing with their favorite person. A true fruit-bearing Christian is going to lift up their hands when they're in the house of God and not be a pew warmer, and they're going to magnify God and tell Him how wonderful He is. A true fruit-bearing Christian, Brother Gene, is going to walk up to that sinner and say, do you know who Jesus is? A true fruit-bearing Christian, Sister Crystal, is going to walk up to that homeless person and say, hey, let me warm you with this coat. Let me feed you with this food, instead of just saying, be on your way and be clothed and be fed, and seeing that you don't give them those things that are necessary. True fruit-bearing Christians do those things. They've crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. So if we walk in the Spirit, if we're going to walk in the Spirit, we've also got to live in the Spirit. Scripture says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. They go hand in hand, don't they? We can't just talk the talk. We've got to walk the walk. Why? Because God knows the difference. Whatever it is, listen to me for a moment this morning, I'm closing. Whatever it is in your life that's so important to you, that's keeping you out of harmony with God. Maybe somebody hurt your little fallings, as my brother would say. Maybe you've been done dirty in life. Somebody hurt you bad. Whatever it is, folks, there's nothing at all that's worth dying lost and going to a devil's hell for. He concludes it by saying, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Once again, these are some more of Satan's most effective tools and weapons. Vanity, provocation, and envy. Vanity simply means when we put us in place of God. You can fill in the blanks. Provocation, this happens a lot in the house of God. Paul said, see that you do not bite and devour one another. Do things to provoke one another. True Christians seek to edify one another. Not find the flaws, Brother Gene, not try to tear them down. Like the church that you told me about in Missouri. Or to undergird and strengthen one another. And then this last one, envy. Again, a little four-letter word. It means jealousy. And the Bible tells us that jealousy is as cruel as the grave. Jealousy will eat a person alive. What am I talking about this morning? I'm talking about killing time for eternity.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haining and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week.
His love changed me. I'm not what I used to be. I'm saved by grace. to say is what changed.